We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
And welcome in. It's another edition of the Aggies All the Way podcast. I am Scott Girard. Busy show. Kevin White's going to join us here in just a moment. But first off, want to welcome in Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team to the Aggies All the Way podcast, an experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you out with what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender. All right, a lot to get to on the podcast today. We'll send it over to Jaden Johnson coming up here in a bit. He'll have some conversations with some members of the Utah State soccer team. But first, we have some business to take care of. Recapping the first game of the season, heartbreaker, Utah State loses to Wake Forest. Aggies had holding on to a lead, four-point lead with just about 2 minutes remaining. Wake Forest able to go the length of the field, cap off what would end up being a game-winning touchdown, and then Utah State getting down to the 30-yard line before an interception ends the game, and Utah State walks away from BB&T Field 0-1, but have a chance to get back on the winning track with a game coming up on Saturday against Stony Brook. It's time for our weekly conversation as the broadcast crew wraps up last week and looks ahead to next week. Kevin, now that you've had about 3-4 days for this game to decompress a little bit, what were your takeaways from that game at Wake Forest?
Well, I feel a little bit deflated by it still, even after a couple of days. That's a game that I thought Utah State should have won. I felt a little bit different about that game than I did last year against Michigan State, where we kind of walked out of there feeling like, wow, it was great to see how well we matched up and competed against Michigan State. This weekend, I felt like we were the better team. Utah State was a better team, and it just felt like we may have let one get away. But, you know, when I've taken a step back now and looked at it and looked at some of the good things that happened, there were a lot of positives that came out of that as well. And, you know, there's a couple of unseen positives, things like when injuries happen, new faces arise. And I thought a freshman that played out there, Cam Lampkin at cornerback in the fourth quarter, was pressed into action because of injury and really stepped up. And I thought that the newcomer at running back, Jalen Warren, with 19 carries and 141 yards, was really bright. And I thought that the offensive line played so well for most of that game, leading to almost 600 yards of total offense. So, and then, of course, David Woodward, holy cow, 24 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, a couple of forced fumbles. And I'll never forget the play where he just took the ball out of Jamie Newman's hands and ran it back for a touchdown. Unfortunately, it was called back, but. So I took a step back, Scotty, and I looked at a lot of the positives that they can build upon going forward. And to a certain degree, it feels a lot like last year, because now you get that one out of the way and you start the new season starting this week.
And that's certainly what you have to do, too. And we'll talk about Stony Brook coming up here in a moment. But a game that, frankly, you felt like you had, that you should have had. You and I were actually, when Utah State punted with just over 2 minutes left and pinned Wake Forest down at the 10-yard line, and you and I looked at each other during the commercial break, and you asked me, do you think they've got it? And I'm like, I think they do. I think they do. And you agreed with me. It just felt like Utah State was a better team. And look, I know a loss is a loss, and we're not trying to spin it, but I think if those same two teams play again relatively soon, I feel like Utah State's the better team. But look, they didn't win, and so it's time to move on. But when you look at a tough loss like that as a player, how difficult is it to overcome something like that emotionally when you feel like you let one get away from you?
You know, it is tough. It is tough because, you know, you got such high, lofty expectations. That, you know, I thought as the game wore on, I thought Justin Enna and that defensive staff really started to figure out the Wake Forest offense. I mean, I went back and looked at it, and they rushed for less than 50 yards in the second half, and they could not get a yard.
Yeah.
I mean, at the goal line, three straight plays at the end of that that final drive, two previous possessions before that, they could not gain a yard on the ground. And so, you know, there was a lot of good things to build upon there. So you can take a lot of confidence away in a lot of those areas. I worry a little bit about Jordan Love in one regard, that, you know, he's never had a three interception game. And, you know, he's such a bright kid, and he's such a resilient kid and a calm kid, that I think he'll bounce back just fine. But I know that as I talked with him just a little bit after the game and saw him just, you know, as we were getting on the airplane to come home, you could feel, you know, the weight of the world was on him to say, you know, did I let my team down? And, you know, he's done so many good things, and he was 33 of 48, 416 yards and three touchdowns. He played so well. There were just a couple of those miscues that, you know, he'll look at and he'll learn from, especially now as he's finding out who his playmakers are on the outside. I think he found a few out there in Siosi Mariner and Caleb Rep and Savon Scarver and Jordan Nathan. I mean, boy, they just made play after play. So I think he'll bounce back. I think they'll all bounce back, and I think they'll bounce back with a vengeance, just like they did a year ago. As you recall, they came back and then laid lumber to New Mexico State in week two,
yeah,
and Tennessee Tech in week three, and just on and on for 10 straight wins. So I it could, in fact, have that same sort of effect on this team to propel them going forward.
Well, and I agree with that, you on that one. And the last interception, a kid made a really, really great play. And, you know, but there were a couple of throws that, yeah, I'm sure he's going to want back and he's going to work on, and he'll end up being a better quarterback for it. But, you know, it was a tough pill to swallow, especially when you saw the rest of the Mountain West Conference have such a day on Saturday too. You know, so many big upsets and so many big games, and Boise coming back against Florida State. You kind of feel a little jealous thinking, man, you know, it would have been nice to be in the mix on that being talked about. But, you know, this team has a resiliency to it. And we saw it last year throughout, you know, after the Michigan State game, obviously they reeled off 10 in a row. But you also look at in games when things didn't go well or a play didn't go well. More often than not, they were coming back and making plays. And last night or on Saturday, or excuse me, Friday, when it looked like there were moments in that game, especially in the first half, where it felt like Wake Forest was poised to go up two scores. And every time they got the ball back and that defense needed to find a way to make a stop, they did. Now, ultimately, Wake Forest got the game-winning drive, but I thought that Utah State defense came together. And I love the fact he brought up the running game, because they were getting gashed in the running game. Justin Enna made some nice adjustments, and they were better against the run throughout the course of the game, especially in the second half. And those are the kind of adjustments the staff's going to have to make going forward. And look, they're going to have to find a way to work with this defensive backfield. We don't know the injuries that they dealt with. We don't know how serious they are. Talked to Gary Anderson a little bit earlier today, and he was somewhat coy, as you would expect a coach to be, on the magnitude of some of those injuries. But, you know, those are adjustments this team's going to have to make, because you don't become a 5'8 corner and turn into a 6'2 corner overnight. I mean, that's not in the cards. So this team's going to have to find a way to work through that.
And, you know, I think that it starts with the next man up mentality. And I really, really like the way that Cam Lampkin came in and played.
Yep.
I mean, and he's one of those bigger corners. You know, they wanted him at wide receiver, and he was thrust into the defensive backfield really at the beginning of fall camp, has learned the position, and I thought he played very well. And, you know, Dominic Tatum may be next man up on that defensive secondary that may have to step forward. And, you know, they may have to mix and match a little bit. And we didn't really talk about it during Friday night's broadcast because we weren't really aware that Cam Haney, who was penciled as a starter, didn't get a single snap.
Yeah.
In that game. And so hopefully you can get a couple of those guys back as well for this Saturday. And you know, I think they will. I think they'll bounce back. They showed some terrific resiliency, I thought, on both sides of the ball. We commented several times during the broadcast, if one team could go up by two scores, one way or the other, it felt like that could be a dagger. And neither one gave. Neither one budged. And neither one could get more than a 3 or 4 point lead back and forth. And you know, I just felt like when Utah State had two opportunities after going ahead 35-31 to get the stops on defense and give your offense an opportunity to get more points on the board, and they were unable to complete those drives, I thought that was a key. If they could have got up two scores, I think they could have really salted that one away. But even as it is, and even after they gave up the touchdown with a minute and eight to go, they went right back down the field on offense. And, you know, that's the sort of resiliency that I think will play itself out throughout the course of the season. And they've got terrific player leadership to help them in that regard.
So at this point, I think you've got a nice two-headed monster, and Gerald Bright ended up with, I believe, 9 carries in that game. And here comes Jaylen Warren with 19 carries in that game. That's going to even out a little bit, and it's going to be a two-man horse, and maybe Riley Burke can get in there and make it a three-horse race. But right now, you've got two studs at running back, and it seems like it's starting to have the feel of what we had last year with Darwin Thompson and Gerald Bright.
It was so fun last year to see those two play off of each other. And, you know, the skill sets are just a little bit different. When you look at the final stat line, Gerald Bright had 9 carries for 37 yards and a touchdown. And I thought he ran the ball, when he had the opportunity, he ran the ball fairly well. But he also had 4 catches for 30 yards. And he gives you that dimension out of the backfield in the screen game or in the check down game that maybe has a little bit different wrinkle than what Jaylen Warren does for you, because Jaylen Warren's a little bit more, you know, seek the contact and bounce off the contact and yards after contact. And we saw that play itself out. And then he had the ability also to hit that hole so hard and so fast to break off a 59 yarder and a 43 yarder on his way to 141 yards. So they're diverse there. They're diverse at tight end. With Caleb Rep acting a little bit more like a big wide receiver, where Carson Terrell will get you some of those tough catches. And then they're really diverse now at the wideout position and really electric at the wideout position. Yeah. I thought Tiosi Merrill was incredible. I mean, last year, what did he have? 19 catches at the University of Utah, and he had 8 on Friday night. And so, you know, the way that they're using those guys, I think, will be really exciting throughout the course of the season. And then when Jordan Nathan got banged up just a little bit, the first play in, they do a little bubble screen to Devin Tompkins, who takes it 56 yards for a touchdown. So, you know, they're developing some of those key weapons. I think they still need to identify who they're going to target on third down, especially in that 3rd and 3 to 5. You know, is that going to be Caleb Rep or Carson Terrell, or who's going to be that guy? But, you know, to answer your question, I thought Gerald Bright and Jaylen Warren both played fairly well in that game Friday night.
Yeah, and I think that you're seeing the beginning of a really special offense. You know, and I talked to Coach Anderson earlier today, and that's posted up on 1280thezone.com if you want to hear it. But he made mention of, you know, the offensive line. You know, look, they generate 600 yards. They had 180 yards on the ground. But I do think there was a certain level of you know, we need to get better. And I think he mentioned, and we mentioned it during the broadcast, on that final drive that ultimately ended up in the interception, Wake Forest is bringing a 3-man rush, and they were getting there with 3. And I think that's something the coach talked about and said, you know, that's something we got to get better at. When a team is pinning back their ears and really getting after the quarterback, we still got to be better at protecting him. So I know there's a lot of praise for the offensive line, and I think there's a lot of great signs, but still a lot of room for improvement too.
No question. Although, you know, in the 2-minute drill at the end of the first half, they were really good.
That's a good point.
And so, yeah. You know, I think part of that maybe is the game wears on a little bit and you get a little bit tired and you're going uber fast on that last, because you only got a minute 8 to go. And so you got to sprint. And remember, they had a couple of long passes early on in that drive that they had to protect a little bit extra long. And so, you know, their quick pass game didn't really take effect until kind of midway through that drive. So I think you have to look at all those different factors. I thought that they came of age. I thought that group up front was really good. Alfred Edwards and Ty Shaw and Carter Shaw's brother and Mick Alifu and Andy Koch. I thought they were really good throughout the majority of that game. You don't go for 600 yards against an ACC defense and not play fairly well.
Yeah.
But you're right. They'll learn from some of those mistakes. They'll learn from some of the things that they could improve upon. And I think, you know, they've got a chance to be really, really good.
Well, they're going to be around for a while, too. And I know that's really something that this staff is excited about, knowing the fact that these kids are just kids and they have a chance to grow together and really develop something special on that offensive line. All right, so let's shift gears a little bit, talk about this week. Stony Brook's an interesting team from the FCS ranks out of the CAA. They are, let's see, 2 years ago they had a 10-3 season. Last year they were 7-5. It is a team that is certainly very capable of creating all kinds of problems for you. Gary Anderson has the utmost respect. And let's be honest here, I know these are games you should win, and frankly, you should win handily, but it happens every year. We just saw Georgia State go in and beat Tennessee. You know, we all know the infamous, you know, game with App State and Michigan. Like, these games happen, and I'm sure there's a message to this locker room. Like, look, take respect your opponent, take the game seriously, play hard, because if not, you might have a game on your hands in the fourth quarter, and it could get really uncomfortable.
Remember the game against Southern Utah?
Oh, yeah.
A punt return.
You needed a punt return to beat Southern Utah.
Yeah. And when you look at that, they play in the same league as James Madison, who last week took West Virginia to a 20-13 game and almost pulled that game out.
Yep.
They've been to the FCS playoffs 2 years in a row, led by Chuck Priori, their head coach, who's a real veteran. He's led them from division to division into now the FCS ranks. And when you look at them, you know, they're pretty big up front on offense. I mean, they've got a lot of heft up front. They come off a 35-10 win over Bryant. So they'll come in with a you know, a little bit of swagger and a little bit of confidence. Got a very good quarterback in Tyquell Fields. You know, threw for 194 yards, and he rushed for another 52 last week. So you got a dual threat quarterback out there again, like you had this last week. They're fairly well balanced offensively and pretty strong defense. They had a pick six from their strong safety, Sincere Malone. You know, they'll come in with a lot of talent. And what you see with these FCS teams also is a lot of age. In other words, a lot of juniors and seniors in that starting lineup, and a couple of graduate transfers as well. So, you know, guys that have played a lot of football. And, you know, I think they'll offer a stiff test, no question.
Time to get to the game, stripe the stadium. It's going to be a lot of fun up at Maverick Stadium when we kick off the home schedule. Utah State undefeated at home all of last year. They want to keep it rolling this year as well. And some tickets still available, so make sure you go out there and get your tickets and get ready for what should be a really fun game coming up on Saturday. Kevin, appreciate it. You and I will chat pregame coming up on Saturday, ready to get back at it again.
All right, Scotty, and go Aggies.
That's Kevin White, color analyst for the Utah State football broadcast. Aggies suffering a tough loss to Wake Forest. Now look ahead to Stony Brook coming up this weekend. And now let's shift gears. It's time for your Olympic update with Jaden Johnson hanging out with the Utah State soccer team.
Hey, everyone. Here with Utah State Soccer's Maylee Enos and Imelda Williams today for our Olympic sport feature here on the Aggies All the Way podcast. Ladies, thanks for joining me. How's everything going?
Good. Just getting ready for our game this afternoon.
Yeah, it's game day for you guys. This won't post until, I think, Thursday. So It'll be after the game, but, you know, hopefully you'll be celebrating a win at that point.
Exactly. That's the goal.
But I appreciate you guys taking some time. I know it's, you know, game day is probably a busy time for you guys, and especially with school and everything, to take a little bit of time and sit down with me. But I feel like I could introduce you guys just from the written bios I've read and from all that, but I'll let you do it yourself. So tell me a little bit about yourselves and, you know, what positions you play, what year in school you are, your majors, all that kind of stuff. You want to start, Maylee?
Sure. So my name's Maylee. I also go by EE or E with the team, because Maylee is kind of a mouthful. I'm a senior and I play center back. I've pretty much always played center back. In school, I am a double major in special education and communicative disorders, and I'm just finishing up everything for both of those, so I'm really excited to be graduated and done soon.
Are you done in the, like, after the semester?
No, I'll do it in the spring. But I'm, like, student teaching in the spring, okay. So I'm not taking classes necessarily. I'll be just teaching all the time, so.
That's cool. Are you going to be, like, at a school in the Valley?
Yeah, somewhere in the valley. But I think I'll be placed in a high school somewhere, just because I don't have any experience there, and they try and give you some varied experience. So
that's such a cool major. Mm-hmm. That's very, very cool. Melda.
Awesome. So I'm Imelda. I also go by a nickname. Everyone calls me Mel because nobody can say Imelda on the field. I actually came in with EE, so we graduated high school the same year, but after my freshman year, I decided to serve an LDS mission, and so I'm a year behind her now. I'm a junior in soccer and a sophomore in school, so I'm really all over the place. I'm majoring in global communications with a minor of economics and Spanish, and I play defense as well. I play left back usually, but I mean, you can stick me anywhere along that line and I'll be just fine. Is there anything else?
That's perfect. I'm glad that you brought, I was going to ask you about going on an LDS mission, because you hear about, I mean, Utah State fans are very familiar with males going on LDS missions and basketball mm-hmm. players and football players and all that, but you don't hear about girls going on LDS missions that much, at least in the sports world.
Yeah.
So you're in a little bit of a unique situation there.
Yeah, so I actually never wanted to serve a mission, ever. Like, that thought never had crossed my mind. It's been soccer since I was 5 years old, and that's the only dream, that's the only passion, that's the only thing that really mattered in my life, if I'm being honest. But then I just got a really strong impression that I should do it, and I was just like, full send, let's go. I know that it was right, so I did it.
Was it one of those things that you were already at Utah State when you made the decision, or did it play into your decision, I guess, to come to Utah State? And had you made up your mind before you came here?
Oh, no way. I was already here.
You were here. Okay.
I was here. I was injured. I broke my tiny little toe.
First day of preseason.
Yeah, first day of preseason.
Freshman year.
And somehow that toe kept me from playing for like a couple of months. And I think that just gave me time to think about it and what I was doing with my life. And I just needed to take a step back from soccer, which I love and I still love. Mm-hmm. But I had to do something else with my life at that time, and I'm glad that I did.
And then you came back and started playing pretty much immediately, right?
Yeah, like 4 days after I came home, I ran that fitness test and got going with the team.
How was that?
It was hard. I mean, I passed the fitness test, so that stress reliever was off, but mm-hmm. I mean, fitness test versus soccer shape is completely different. And it took me a little bit to get back into it. And it took me like the whole season to feel like myself again. But I'm good now. I mean, we're a year later and I'm feeling pretty good this year.
Now, Maylee, you, I don't know if there's actual stats kept for this. I mean, there are stats, but like way back going historically, into the first years of Utah State soccer, it's hard to track down the numbers. I have to imagine you're up there in the career minutes played numbers.
Yes.
For Utah State.
Yes, I probably am.
I mean, I was looking last year, you played 90 plus minutes in 17 out of 18 games.
Yeah.
Which
this
still is
doesn't
crazy.
Get hurt.
You don't get hurt. And apparently you don't get tired. And you've played 80 plus minutes in 53 out of 58 games of your career. That's insane. Mm-hmm. Do you not get tired?
No, I get very tired. No, it just comes with the position. I feel like in being center back, it's not necessarily a position you sub a ton mm-hmm. in and out, because it's more of an organizing and leader role, and so you want to have a lot of stability in that position and consistency in that position. And it's different exertion-wise, where I'm not running straight sprints the whole time. So it is a position I feel like I can stay in for 90 minutes, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm grateful to be able to play that much, and it's been awesome to be able to do that. But yeah, I mean, it's tiring and it's a lot. It's a lot of pressure, but I wouldn't want to be in any other spot.
Well, and on top of that, you've started every game of your career outside of the first two and one that you missed this season, right?
Yeah. I took a nasty hit in our first game of the season. I got knocked out and got a concussion, so. Missed a game, but back now. And then, yeah, ever since then, it's been really cool to be able to start that much.
So now the real question, when you walk up Old Main stairs, do you get tired? Do you get
winded? Everyone does. Everyone gets tired up the stairs. Everyone during preseason, when you're a freshman, because you can't move into your dorms yet. You have to stay in the LLC, mm-hmm. which is right on top of Old Main Hill. And so every day after practice, three practices a day, you have to walk up the hill to get to your dorm during preseason. And that, I mean, that's the most tiring part of the day.
Well, that makes me feel better because I'm nowhere near a Division I athlete. But if I walk up those stairs, I'm gassed.
Oh, we take breaks. Don't worry.
So the season's finally here. I mean, you guys are, you're actually a few games in already, and I want to talk about this team and what you've done so far this season and all that, but it's got to feel good to finally be competing against somebody in a different color jersey and actually out there competing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what we play for. We love to play games and to compete and, you know, to play other teams. And so it's been really fun to be able to get back into games because you go so long from the end of fall season to the start of the next fall season, you know, almost 9 months out of the year, not playing games, not playing other teams. So this is what we live for.
And all the hard work we put in, aside from it, is like coming in the summer when other people can be going off on vacations in other countries. Like, we're here dedicating our lives to this because, like Yi said, we love it and it's our passion. So that's why we do it.
It's my favorite time of the year. I love fall when soccer's going, football's going, everything, just school's back. I guess I could have asked you about this in your introductions, but I always like to find out what brought people to Utah State. And I mean, you're fairly local. Melda, you're from Linden, uh-huh. and you're from Highlands Ranch, Colorado. So,
yes.
I mean, not from like across the country or anything, but what made you want to come to Utah State?
I'll go first. So during the recruiting, everyone's recruiting process is so different. It's always interesting to me to hear everyone's stories. But mm-hmm. during the recruiting process, the biggest thing for me was I wanted to go somewhere where I knew that they wanted me and they would want me to be a part of their team and contribute to the team, and somewhere that I thought I was going to be able to play soccer, you know, get on the field and play minutes. And so this kind of checked all of those boxes. I had a unique situation where I was the last one in our class, actually.
Really?
Yeah, the last one to commit. It was summer after my sophomore year, and things weren't panning out with other colleges, and Utah State came out to a tournament in Colorado and watched me play in one game, and 2 weeks later I was committed here. And so it was a really cool, quick process. I knew that they really wanted me, and I just wanted to come somewhere in Utah.
Yeah.
It was close enough to home. Religion-wise, it was somewhere that there was going to be a lot of people similar to me, which I mm-hmm. wanted to be able to be part of that community. So,
did you know much about Utah State before then?
I actually, until we contacted them right when they came to that tournament in Colorado, I didn't know Utah State existed. So, for me, that was brand new, and so it all ended up working out, though.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, I always wanted to stay in state. I mean, we're only 2 hours away from where I'm from, but my brother actually...
What high school were you?
I went to Timpanogos High School in Orem.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And there's a few girls on the team as well that, mm-hmm. that came from there. But my older brother, he ran track here. And so since I was pretty little, I always had Utah State in my mind. I was like, that's so sweet. Like, my older brother, he runs for there. He loves the school. He never said anything bad about it. And when I came on my unofficial visit, my sophomore year in the recruiting process, I just knew I wanted to be here. And pretty soon after that, I committed. And, like, I never doubted it since then.
That's very cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. You know, Utah State is very happy to have you guys here. So both of you play defensive roles on the team. And I think that so many people, when they look at sports, and especially like in such an analytically driven age, they like to base performance off of stats. And you could have the greatest game of your life and not record a single stat on, mm-hmm. on the box score.
Yes.
How do you measure your own individual performance? And after a game, what makes you think that was a great game?
Well, I mean, Melda actually scores plenty of goals.
Scored a game winner.
Actually, yeah,
right?
She did just this last weekend. Melda scores plenty of goals. But in terms of defending, I mean, there's always things like you can keep a clean sheet, you can keep a shutout.
Sure.
those are always great games. It means you did your job. But also, just knowing that I tried my hardest in terms of 1v1 defending, I shut down my man that I was working on. Things like that. We actually have a program that the school uses that records all of your passes and your pass accuracy and your tackles and how many tackles you won. So that's a big thing that defenders that we track. It's not something that like they publish in stats, but in terms of just our team, just your tackle percentage and things like that.
Yeah. Something that I do and like when I walk off the field is you just kind of analyze what was your job. What's your job as an outside back or a center back? And like, did you do your job? Did I shut down the outside forward? Did I make my runs up when I was supposed to? Did I complete my passes? Did I make the job easier for my team or harder? And when you like analyze those things, at least for me, like I have plays run through my mind. I'm like, oh, that was bad. Or like, oh, that was nice. Like I did that good. But like you just feel it. When you're on and you play the game of your life and then you play mediocre or you, I don't know, maybe you had a bad day, but you can definitely tell.
This year's team, you've got a lot of really young players. I mean, only, you're one of three seniors on the team.
Yes, we're a small class now.
It's a very young team, and you've already had a lot of freshmen contribute and underclassmen contribute. Mm-hmm. What's the feeling like around this team? And, you know, you've got a few games under your belt. What's it been like this season?
Honestly, since... So we have captain's practice week where before preseason officially starts, everyone comes up a week or two early and we start getting to know each other. We're working out together. We're playing together. Just to get kind of like the vibe going before preseason starts. And ever since that, I've been saying it a lot, like this feels so much better, than it has in a long time. Team wise, chemistry wise, playing wise, like I think this team's found its joy for playing again. And, you know, playing soccer's fun. We love playing together. And so that's been a really good feeling that we've had starting this season.
Yeah, it's not like seniors versus freshmen or juniors versus freshmen. It's just like team. And I love that. We're just very accepting of each other.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, not to dwell on this, but last season, you know, maybe it didn't go the way that you guys hoped.
No.
It did not.
And... you know, there was a lot of promising moments, though. You know, you end out the season with a win over the top team in the conference, and now you come back, and this season you've already got a pretty big road win up in South Dakota, and it seems like there's a lot of pieces on this team and a lot of really incredible athletes and just things that are starting to come together, and you're getting right there. What's that kind of been like to see this group come together?
It's been... honestly, it's been a long journey. Like from last fall to spring, we saw our offense definitely start to develop a lot. But this season, we just kind of changed everything. Brand new freshmen, brand new offense.
Brand new formation.
Yeah. And we just are, our mindset is what we changed most of all is we're just like, we want this. We have the potential to be champions. Like we beat the number one team in the conference last year. It's not like we can't do it.
On the road.
Yeah, on the road. So it's like we know we have the potential. We just – and we you can see it. Like we – our offense – and we get way more shots this year. Like we just have to put the last piece together. And it's coming. Like we feel it and we see it. But it's coming along. I can't wait till today.
That's what I think a lot of people don't see because they just see us season to season. Like, this whole process started a week after last season ended. So it's been a year in the making that we've all been, you know, busting our butts every day at practice to get ready for this. And we've been working with sports psychologists and working as a team together on our team chemistry and everything that we can do to be better. We've been working on for a long time, so we're ready to show that.
People don't realize how much of a grind it is to be a student athlete. And I'm not one personally, but I've spent a lot of time around the women's basketball team and I travel with them to see when they go on the road, it's not a vacation. It's, you know, it's film, it's practice, it's shoot around. It's all this stuff. And you know, the same way with you guys. And you were talking about all that work that goes into it. How good does it feel when you're finally able to just put that out on the field and come out with a win?
It feels, oh man, how do you explain that? But it just feels like exhilarating, I guess. Like it's all worth it. You feel like you feel confident when you get onto the field because you know you've put in all the work. Mm-hmm. Something that EE always says almost before every game, she goes, guys, we know that we've worked harder than them. So let's just show them what we've done. And so like that statement that she says every time just like goes through my head. I'm like, yeah, you're so right. Like, remember when we were running those box drills or those X's on
all
the
summer.
Field? Like, it was for this. Like, we've definitely put in the work.
Who's your strength coach for soccer?
She is new. She just came on this spring. Her name's Jamie, and she's been awesome. Yeah. She had an amazing summer program, so that's been really great to work with
her.
Yeah,
she killed us.
Yeah, we got very good. In shape.
So today's game day. Again, by the time this goes out, it'll be after the game and everything. But do you have a pregame ritual at all? Or I mean, I imagine you still got to get butterflies when you go into a game.
I am actually probably like the least superstitious person in the world. I don't ever get bothered by like changes in routine or anything on game day. So
like sitting down for a half hour doing a podcast in the morning isn't going to.
No, no, I don't have anything specific. I mean, we jam out in the locker room, get loose and have a pregame talk with our coaches, and then we have our warm up and everything. But I don't have any specific pregame rituals besides I eat a peanut butter jelly sandwich before every game. That's probably it.
I used to do that when I was little. But I'm the same.
Like it was
way.
A subtle burn. None for you either?
Well, no, not like before. It's just hard because I used to be way superstitious, but then you come and like your classes are different, and if you're super in your head about everything, it just like psychs you out. But like my game rituals start like when I get to the locker room. Mm-hmm. And when I get to the locker room, I like put my stuff on, I visualize, and once that warm-up starts, like I'm all there. There's nothing else that matters. It's just soccer. And people know that, like, I'm the person at practice who's laughing over I don't even know
everything.
What. Like, I'm still playing soccer, but, like, if it's game day, like, it's game day.
So you guys have kind of a crazy schedule where today you've got Weber State at home, but then you go on the road for 7 of your next 8 games. The first 4 games of conference are on the road. I mean, good luck with that. That's crazy. But what's it like? So Belfield is incredible with the mountains and just the way that it's surrounded by hills and people watching and everything. What's it like when there's a ton of people there? I've been to games where there's, you know, 1,000+ people and everyone screaming at the top of their lungs. And those games are really fun to watch. What's it like to be in front of a home crowd as a player and playing at Belfield?
I mean, I think we have the prettiest, best home field in the conference.
I was going to ask, have you been to any field that's even comparable as far as a view goes?
Well, maybe San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
There's this,
like, on top of a parking garage.
Yeah.
So it's like,
there's just cool because it's, like, high up. But I think we have the prettiest field in the conference. And it's, I don't know, it's just in its own area. So it's nice and by itself. And the mountains are super pretty. And they paint it so nice.
Especially
and,
in the fall.
Yeah. All the trees. And the it's weak. So I think we have the prettiest field in the conference. But I might be biased. But
I think you could say that.
I think home crowds make such a difference. And it's really, really fun to play for your school and to play for your family and for your teammates' families. That's always a huge motivator. And it's really, really fun to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. It's just like an extra push. Like, obviously, we love the game. We're going to go out in the field and give it our all. But, like, sometimes you just need a little extra push. And just to know that all your friends and family are watching – It's just what you need to keep going.
There's not a much better way to spend like a Friday afternoon or just to go out on a fall afternoon, fall evening and watch soccer at that field. It's incredible. So the next home game, aside from tonight, will be Idaho State, September 22nd. It's a little ways out there, but
a month away.
That will be prime fall weather, September 22nd. Just look at it that way. So if you're able to make it out there, we'll see you there. We got to wrap things up, but I want to ask you guys before we do, what's your favorite thing about playing at Utah State and being an Aggie?
My favorite thing I would say is just being with my team. You don't know really anybody coming in. I mean, I've known a few players I played with, but other than that, you go in not knowing anybody and then they become your family. And it's really awesome to like have this team, but family environment and just like people you'd do anything for on or off the field. And so I think that's my favorite part about being here and being at Utah State. It's not just us too. Like you go to random places around town and people are like, oh, are you on the soccer team? I'm like, yeah, like I'm on the soccer team. Like you just feel special and loved in this town.
Yeah. I just have to echo what Mel says. It's a really great thing to be able to play in a college town where everyone's super supportive of mm-hmm. the athletics and just athletics, being an athlete in general, there's a lot of support and a lot of family involved. We are so very lucky to be able to do what we love and to continue doing what we love just at the next level, and having great teammates and great coaches and a great program is the best part.
Well, I can personally say, as someone who's from Cache Valley, there's not a professional team here. There's not, you know, any even semi-pro teams here. And so Utah State is kind of it. And the athletes here, I think, do such a good job representing what the community is all about and what the university is all about. And so thank you for that. And thanks for joining us. This is Maile Enos, Imelda Williams. I really appreciate your time. Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
And good luck the rest of the season.
This has been another edition of the Aggies All the Way podcast, brought to you by Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team. Experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products, and they can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you, help you out with what really matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Scott Girard. We'll be back with you next week for another edition of the Aggies All the Way podcast.